Did I ever tell you that I was thinking about a cool idea to give away a car?
Not particularly.
All right. So here's my thought process.
When? This year or next year?
Not this year. Not this year. It would probably be
near
next
future.
Year. So first, let me bring you through my thought process here.
Okay.
My first thought process was like, you know, we keep talking about all these different projects we want to do and different things, and the idea of, like, you know, maybe capturing some of that stuff on for content for our YouTube channel, right?
Right.
And, you know, part of me thought, all right, well, what if we, you know, picked up a car, maybe when we get back from SEMA sometime before the end of the year, we start building it and we build it for SEMA next year.
That would be so cool.
Right.
That would be so
cool.
Now,
I've done those types of SEMA builds in the past, but I don't think we've done it anytime after 2011. 2011 was kind of that year where we kind of were like, we just had gotten burnt with it. And we're like, all right, enough. Like, we don't. It's too much liability. It's a pain in the butt. I don't want to do it. But then I was thinking more and more, and I'm like, well, maybe that's not, like, maybe going to SEMA is not what it once was, right? We know a little bit that, I you know, the show has changed. It's
how many SEMAs have you been dynamic. To, Scott? I forget.
Seventeen. 17?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think 17.
So it's not the way it used to be.
Right, so the dynamic is different.
Yeah.
Right? So my thing is this, is that what if we could then I was thinking, like, all right, well, what if we were to build a car, document the car build, get partners involved, so we had some really cool people, like, you know, parts and people involved in it, and then what if we just give the car away?
I mean, that sounds really interesting, really cool.
Right?
Yeah.
So let me. So then I was thinking, like, okay, well,
what car?
Well, so that's right.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. What
that
car?
That becomes my problem. So it's like I get stuck with this whole thing. Like, do you build something that everybody's already built in 100,000 different situations? Right.
Right. Civic or Miata.
Yeah. Like, all right. Like, you could do them. They'd be cool to give away a car, but we're not doing it to make money on a giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, arguably, there are people that give away cars and they're in it for the ticket, the money, etc.
Yeah.
But that's not what we would be doing.
And hype.
Okay.
Right?
Maybe.
Well, because normally they like to bring the hype on the giveaway so that there's more hype on the next one and that kind of stuff.
Right. But like, imagine our whole motivation between this stuff is literally just to build something cool because we get content out of it, right? Put this content up so everybody can see it. And then potentially the only hook that we would have is maybe just to ask for them to subscribe to our YouTube channel to be entered in some capacity, hypothetically.
It's a very big ask.
I mean, you're not, right?
No,
I was going to say, you're
kidding,
right?
I'm kidding.
I was going to say, because, like, you know, people charge money for that stuff, and we wouldn't even be doing that.
Right. I'm saying we don't ask much.
Right, right. Yeah. So I was like, you know, maybe this way. And then this way we knew that, like, if we tried to do something again, we could gauge, like, just use the subscription base to basically to say, hey, we're doing another one. But like, again, not to charge, not to sell merch, not to do anything other than just be like, hey, we're going to give away this car after we built it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think people might be like, why would they do that? Like, where's the motivation? Why would they do that for like a subscriber? But it's a pain in the butt to have those cars for us.
Yeah.
People don't understand this. It's different. Like, when we had all those cars, all those giveaway cars back in the day, man, was it annoying.
Yeah.
Well, first off, there's different types of build cars, but let's look at just the ones that we personally owned. Well, when they weren't in use, they were liabilities sitting waiting to happen.
Right, they were just sitting in a parking lot?
No, we had them in, like, locked containers. We had them in, you know, sometimes we pull them into, like, the warehouse at the time. But, like, even when it's a warehouse, now it becomes every morning, pull them in, pull them out, pull them in, pull them out. The guy doesn't pay attention. One of the warehouse guys backs it, you know, backs something else, screws up the car, right? You're holding onto that car to use it at certain times. So then you say, all right, well, let's let some employees drive it instead. So then they start driving it. Now there's an insurance liability.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a company has a much different thing than just like, hey, an individual that built a car.
Yep.
So, you know, and then maintaining them. Whose job was it? Like, when you got in it and there's no gas in it, or there was gas, it's just like every little thing. It got to a point where you're like, why do we even have this?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was that. And for the few shows we would go to, or the different things we would do with these cars, you know, we tried for a while to loan them out.
Mm-hmm.
We were loaning these cars out to different people to use and do different things. You know, like maybe it was an influencer or a subscriber, whatever. And they would, you know, sometimes, you know, it wasn't their car. It would come back hammered. You know what I mean? Always with new damage or different mm-hmm. things. Then you'd want to fix it because you don't want to drive a piece
definitely
of crap.
Definitely with an empty tank.
Whatever, you know? My favorite were the ones where we used to send them to the auto shows.
Okay.
So, like, when we used to build some of the cars for, like, Honda and we did Honda. We did GM a lot. You know, different things like that. Then mm-hmm. Nissan. So we used to build these cars, and then afterwards they used to always do the same thing. You get them back from SEMA, mm-hmm. right? You'd show them in your booth at SEMA, or you show them in their booth at SEMA. You'd have these cars done, and then ultimately, when they send them back, they would fetch them at some other time, and they would take them on another tour. So, like, they would come and they would send transport, and they would essentially take the car to, like, all the international auto shows. So it would go to, like, San Jose International Auto Show, Los Angeles International mm-hmm. Auto Show, you know, the Detroit show, New York Auto Show. And then eventually it would return it to us. When those cars came back, when I tell you the things that they were missing.
Oh, no.
I mean, first off, you almost had to have, like, an extra supply of shift knobs in the trunk.
Yeah.
Because every single show, it would come back, no shift knob. No shift knob. They would take, like, random things off the car. I guess they felt they were keepsakes, but it was just really annoying.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah. So for us to have this car, I would almost rather give it away to somebody than to bother, you know, trying to hold on to it for us to use.
Yeah.
Right? We build it, we get the content.
In this scenario, we wouldn't be getting a car from an OE8 anymore, right?
No.
Yeah, so.
We could. It's just not, there's too much that goes into that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they nearly give as many as they used to do, but
yeah.
Still too much that goes into that stuff. So no, we would buy the car, we would fix the car up, we'd put the money in, we'd put the parts in, or whatever we were gonna do. Well,
then I know you, and I know that you won't do something that's whack.
Right.
And
right. Definitely won't be whack.
I know. That just makes me wonder, like, what would you do?
I know. So should I take you through my thought process of cars I was thinking about and how I was thinking them?
Absolutely. All right.
So at first I was like, well, mm-hmm. I don't want to do everything that everybody else has done, right?
Right.
We can always just build the 350. We can always build all these cars. But, like, all right, what are we going to do that's so nothing, really. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And then what's going to end up happening is I don't feel like it, from a company standpoint, when we bring it to SEMA, it's not going to be like, you can't bring those cars to SEMA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it would have to be the most pristine example of that car that ever lived at this point to end up in the booth.
Or have to be like a BS for build extravagant type of...
Have some sort of story attached to it where at the end of the road was it showing up at SEMA.
Yeah.
Like we're going to have in our SEMA booth this year, which I don't think hasn't been announced, right?
Nope.
All right. So...
But I see them starting to do a little teasing.
Okay. So there is going to be an influencer in our booth
mm-hmm.
this year. And
I'm waiting for their channel to
drop
it.
Yes. Right. And they may not drop it right until right before SEMA. It's possible. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But so I'll give you a few hints. You do know this person for the most part. He's part of a very popular channel.
Mm-hmm.
We're stoked to have the car because we like the fact that they've put all this work in building this car back to what it should be and more.
Yep.
This person is informative.
It's like we're playing Clue.
We are playing Clue.
Yeah.
And I don't want to catch Colonel Mustard, you know?
Yeah.
So this person is informative
mm-hmm.
and genuinely gives people some sort of educational tips on working on their car, which is important to us. We look for influencers that are educating at the same time that they're building, right? Mm-hmm. So entertainment and educational type things. So there's that person. Anyhow, so they're bringing this car to our booth. It embraces a lot of what we stand for and what's cool for us. It's a cool car to begin with. And this is the end of the road for that build. This will be the completion of that build. So we've done stuff like that before.
Yeah.
I don't think that building, you know, even if we build the world's nicest 350Z or the nicest, you know, EG or EK Civic. I mean, it's cool. You can make a cool car. I just think at this point, you could bring a KG garage quality, EG, EK to SEMA.
Yep.
And it will get some looks and it will suit the part. But I just think that even at that stage, there's enough of those cars that potentially exist where it's like, all right, what are we like? Is that what we want to do? It just be doing it. It would serve its place. Nobody would look at it funny, but we've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I feel like if Aki's watching, he's right now, he's going, nobody builds the quality cars that I build. Like, I know. I don't mean it like that. Well, I was going to say that. No shots fired.
I don't know. I mean, so that makes me think we're not a shop. We're not a garage. We're a wheel company.
Right.
And you sound like you're shooting for high standards, but also a bit of uniqueness and let's not just go in circles from what everyone else has done or, you know, recycle content
right.
or whatever. So so what do you think?
So well then I immediately jumped to the end of the other end of the spectrum.
Uh-huh.
I said we gotta have something that when people look at it, they know like, no, they're that's not just another. It's, you know, it's not like we just mess with Civics or not.
My brain went to Volvo, and I don't know why.
It shouldn't.
Okay. And I was just like, I don't know how far-fetched we're going to get here.
You're right. Okay. Not that far-fetched.
Sweet.
Then I was thinking like, well, maybe we got to do something of some stature, like an R35.
Okay, that's okay. Right? Cool. Yeah.
And then I thought, well, no, yeah, I get it. Because we're not keeping the car.
Yes.
And we're not looking to sell the car.
Right.
So that to me is a lot of money to put out. Even if you didn't pay for any parts, tuning, anything like that, you're paying for the car first.
That's a lot.
We're not BS for build.
We're also
we're not going to buy a wrecked car and then do a salvage title car. Wouldn't be for us. So take that off the table. I think that if you try to go the other way and you do something like an R32 or 33, like I think you've seen enough people lately do those cars.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of it, I think
Scott, if we did an R32 or 33,
yeah.
If we did it and we gave it away as a company, I would be very sad.
That's fair. I think I would too.
It would hurt me.
I just think, but again, to get those cars, you know, unless you get a really, you know, whatever, you can't find parts for them. It's cool, but it's cool for me to do it. I don't think it's cool for Koenig to do it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
All right.
Definitely.
So I'm left in this weird thing. And then like, all right, so then let's go down the normal car path, which is like, you know, you get an FK8.
Yep.
Right? And, you know, you do a Civic Type R. Okay. But, like, how do you make that car truly different and it's not just a car that we built? Remember, we're not going for trying to sell the car. We're just looking to do some cool content, some cool things, give it away.
I'm not saying we have the capability for it. Has anyone done an all-wheel drive version of it?
I mean, that was a lot more than I thought you were going to say.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody has had to.
I don't think I've seen it yet, but.
I'm going to pivot from that point real quick.
Yeah.
But do something laterally here.
Okay.
Then comes up to the other issue I have with that type of age car.
Mm-hmm.
It's just new enough where you're going to have trouble getting things inspected and you're going to have special scan software and different, you know, Honda like dealer tools to be able to manipulate certain things or whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, I know Honda can do a lot. Let's say if you go into that realm.
But you're saying because it's a modern car.
Because it's modern enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So then I'm like, I'm really stuck. I'm like, well, so what do we build?
Yeah,
right?
I guess. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm not saying that I'm not I'm not saying I have the answer. So if you thought I was going to tell you what I think, well, I was the last thought I came up with was, no, know, we should do something that's good.
I was going to say, I know that you're not going to choose to do
something super easy.
You're not going to choose to do a DSM.
No, but that'd be cool.
You think so?
Well, for me.
Well, I mean, but you always say, I guess because you really like them, but
yeah.
I was thinking, like, you know, you've already done enough of those to the point where, you know.
I have.
I don't know. Like, you would still, when do you have enough? Never?
Yeah, never.
That's cool.
I like cars.
Yeah.
I don't ever feel that I could do, that I would, I know myself. Well, I would never build, if you gave me 50 of the same car, everyone would be different in some way.
I know that, like, you already brought up KG Garage, and I know Aki has said that, like, you know, he finds himself in a lot of Honda platforms, and he's trying to
branch out,
right? So that's what I was kind of thinking of, the same manner for you with DSM.
I get it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been a long time since I built a DSM too.
Yeah.
But so now let's look at it the other way. Then I was thinking, like, oh well, we got to do something unique,
mm-hmm.
but something cool. And to me, right now, blending what's kind of not computerized like crazy, cool enough, kind of doesn't need to have the OE parts to be OE, right? Like, for example, like if you build an R32 GTR, mm-hmm. and the dashboard's junk, if you go ahead and hodgepodge or make a fiberglass dashboard to put it back in, that's not really cool, because people, that's not what they, you want. You want the best quality OE dash. You want the original dash kind of thing. So you'll try to look for one, and that could take a while, plus it could be expensive. But like, what if we did something like super off the wall to make it cool? Like, what if we found a Starion?
Uh-huh.
And then case swapped it.
Right.
To be able to bring the technology in, but the car doesn't have to be OBD2. It's not subject to OBD2. Because it's old enough.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. Yeah.
But then we got to build it, and it's like, if you make something really cool for that car because you can't find the replacement, 3D print something instead of, nobody cares.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
You can give it a great paint job, make everything, put flares on. You could do all the cool stuff to make that car. And I'm like, that type of build would be really cool.
How much does a Starion go for?
Well, I don't know, but I would venture to say that there's a lot of pieces of crap. Mitsubishi was really good at that. So I would venture to say that there's a high likelihood that somewhere in the hood is a Starion. That is a 3000 GT, not a Starion, but
I like the 3000 GTs. I like those cars too.
They're cool too. Let me tell you off shot of this. Let me tell you what I think the problem with 3000 GTs are. And I have built a few of those. Not like engine wise. I never built a 3000 GT engine, but like, you know, I've dropped the owner out of it, changed turbo, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were heavy.
Yeah.
They were not inherently really fast unless you put some real good work into them.
Mm-hmm.
They just were more of a clunky car. They didn't handle crazy amazing. They were good cars. I don't want to make it seem like I'm saying they were bad cars. They were good cars. But
those are good looking cars, frankly.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that, remember, during the same vintage.
That's an Eclipse.
Yeah. No, that's not an Eclipse. That's a VR4. That's one of the last generations of VR4. That is a beautiful car. I would like that car. Anyhow, bottom line is, that car is awesome. The thing about it was, and, you know, in the same vintage, I had DSMs, right? So mm-hmm. I had two G Eclipses at the same time, you know, GSXs at the same time. They had the all-wheel drive. I would drive the two side by side. I liked my car better. It felt more nimble. It was punchier. It was just different. That car can be fast. You can make a lot of power out of those 3000 GTs.
Yeah.
But when they went wrong, it went wrong. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Anyhow. So I don't know. I don't know exactly where I'm thinking or what we'll do or if we'll definitely commit to this thing.
Uh-huh. Well, K24 swap, Starion sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, like I like to do cool things, right? And I feel like that's a cool thing where you can make a lot of the stuff and it's not taboo.
Yeah.
Right? You can make a cool build that's like, what is that? And people are like, oh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that idea. You know, back in the day, I've put more. I put a couple of, I can't say a couple. I did one, and my friend Dave has a really cool car still. He's got, you know, he did the 4G63 swap into the Starion.
Cool.
Those are cool. But, you know, again, I'm not really sure what we'll do, if we'll do it, definitely. But I figured, the you know, talking about it since we were talking about cars anyway, what makes car cool could be something that we say to people, hey, listen, like, you know, let us know what you think, what your feedback is. It would be cool to see us give away a car. Not for money, just for car.
Yep.
Just for car.
Yeah.
Maybe some sort of, you know, like and subscribe type thing. Mm-hmm. Would it be cool to watch us actually do something that's kind of unwheel related? Now, don't get me wrong. In the series, we would do wheels and tires. We would do something cool. Mm-hmm. Maybe even a forged wheel that we had, that we developed specially just for this car kind of thing. But what I'm saying is, would it be cool, like, from us as a wheel company, would people want to see the content of us building a car in an episodic fashion?
Yeah, I think that's a strong thing. A lot of people like to watch these build series, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that would be really unique about it is that, you know, most of the times it's going to be a channel or individual. Rarely it's a company that's doing a build series. Sometimes companies will do giveaways, but the car's already built or done or whatever, you know, or just acquired somehow. Like, you don't know where it came from or whatever, but as a company doing a build series, I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure about that. I mean, would people want to see that content? You know, I'm not even sold that necessarily it'd have to go to SEMA, quote unquote. Maybe it would... It would go all next year, and then after that, maybe we give it away at an event. Or then I had another thought.
Maybe I just keep it.
Well, and so I think a lot of people will say, "Well, why don't you got one of you just keep it or something like that?" Well, it doesn't happen. Once a company puts their money into it,
Scott has to rip my heart out.
Right. but then you get to that point where then somebody could technically buy it, like the company could sell it, but. That's not cool.
How about this? I got a better proposal. Mm. How about we just start a company, Drift Build, and you get into FD, and we'll just be your team, and you just get in there and go shred.
I've been starting to move around on the sim that I built.
Yeah.
After the whole podcast where I said, remember when we did the whole one with G?
Yeah.
And I said, oh, well, my water may be lighter.
Yeah.
Well, it got lighter. So I have a sim now, and I just started to whatever, and I don't think FD is in my future right now.
No?
No.
Okay, so we're going to get there.
The amount of back to the pits I've done, not there yet.
That's okay.
Not there
yet. Room for improvement.
Yeah. And then... So, yeah, not there yet. But so I guess the question is, you know, for people out there is like, if you're listening to us on this podcast, if you're watching on YouTube, let us know. Would this be cool? What kind of content would you see? Is it really not your thing to watch us build a car? We're a wheel company. We don't build cars. Is that, you know, is there that thing? Does the car going to SEMA or going to somewhere to be given away, does it have some sort of extreme effect? Or, you know, is there something there that would make it really, really cool? All right. So then I had one more thought, right?
I don't know if we're recording.
What?
Is it just, I guess it is recording.
I don't know. Are we recording, Max?
Okay. Just clarifying.
Where's the... All right. Sorry. All right. So then I had one more idea.
Okay.
Here's my one idea. Was to try to make the build cooler. And if people were like, wheel companies building cars, like, we'll see. What if we sent the car around to maybe some of our different influencers that have channels that build cars like this and let them each contribute something? For example, like, let's say we're doing a Starion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Aki helps us put the K24 in. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe from there we send it up to Canada to like Speed Academy,
mm-hmm.
let them do something on the car. And then maybe from there it goes, you know, somewhere in the Midwest. And then maybe from there it goes up to Oregon, you know,
mm-hmm.
take it for what you will.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
It comes down to Southern California. You know what I mean? Kind of to finish up the build, it kind of goes to these different people. But I realize how difficult that could be with transport costs and some different things. So I'm not 100% sure that will 100% happen. But I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting idea.
I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I have an idea of some people I might have in mind, which is cool, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be cool. I just don't, you know, the thing is, it's like giving away a car is cool, especially if all you have to do is hit subscribe in some fashion. You know, I'm not really sure. It's just a whole thought process. So
I wonder what other cars you'd be down to try for. That's what I'm curious about.
You know, I think it's just got to be old enough where it's getting to that point where it doesn't have to be.
What about a car that's, how do you feel about taking a car that you probably particularly don't feel is all that cool, but making it cool?
Give me an example.
Like, I would imagine that you're probably not the most fond of something like a Celica.
What year Celica?
The, let's say, the second to last generation.
I mean, could you have come up with a better number than that? Second to last generation? What even is that?
That's the
Is that the one with the it's like sort of rounded?
It's not the one with the four headlights. It's not that one.
It's newer than that.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a second to. There's one before that. Okay, I'm wrong here because I forgot about the last generation.
Yeah, I mean, could
I forgot
we have,
about the last gen. That's the one. I'm thinking the one right before that one.
Yeah, I mean,
here you go.
So you're thinking this one?
Yes, but
that was a cool car.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Well, it's the coolest of the Celicas. I forgot about the last gen model that looked like a spaceship. I forgot.
You know what's
one.
Funny? Like, that was a coolish Celica. But also remember that the four light one is starting to make a comeback.
Okay.
I know. I'm just telling you. It's starting to make a comeback. I mean, a lot of the guys are importing now the whatchamacallit version of that car.
Oh, the
all-track.
Yeah.
All-track, that's what it was.
Right.
I
mean, it just seems like it's the front of that, the one that Max just had up on the screen, like, it makes you look like some weird combination of a Integra front end, a Del Sol front end, and a Bentley Continental front end, like somewhere in the middle of all that.
Maybe.
It's a weird mix.
I don't know.
Mix.
I'm trying to think of what other cars. I mean, there's a lot of cars, I think, that I would want to, you know, build or do. But, like, I think I want to do something. If I'm going to make the effort, and, you know, obviously this is going to get done on our personal time. Can't be done on company time.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were going to go through this type of effort, I would want it to be something that when I get done with it, I've crossed it off the bucket list of builds, and I'm like, that was dope.
Mm. I'm trying to think if I could choose a cool build. I don't think we'd ever be on the same page. I don't know.
Nah, because you're going to pull up some 2008 something.
No, I don't even know what that means, but I don't know. My first car that came to my head when I said Volvo earlier would have been a S60R. That's the first thing that came to my head because I think that's a dope car.
Yeah.
And that's something different where I feel like that kind of car needs some love in the sense of, you know, build series and stuff like that. But I know you're not on board with that one.
I like the car.
Mm-hmm.
I think Volvo is inherently just a difficult car. And then when you start talking about like what does make a car cool,
mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, there has to be a little bit of a recipe to get a good amount of people behind you where the car has that tunability.
Yeah.
It has that aftermarket support.
Right. I think that's probably my problem is that a lot of cars I'd like and a lot of cars I think are cool don't have a ton of aftermarket support. And it kind of, you might only have a couple options. Maybe you don't have anything more than just bolt-ons and suspension, and that's really it, you know?
Stuff like that doesn't scare me, because I grew up in an era when we were, I was at the tail end of this era,
mm-hmm.
but, like, there was a lot of cars where they just didn't make parts for yet. That wasn't that huge in the import tuning area in that sport compact segment, so there was a lot, you know, there was a lot of things that when we wanted something, we just had to build, or we had to take something else from another car and really modify it to fit our car.
Right.
But the one thing that's just out, that outdoes me, is when you don't have a like an ECU tuning solution.
Yep.
Because you can't, like, unless you have that ability, like a Tuning by Nick or whatever, to reverse engineer CAN bus and different things like that, and like actually figure out how to, you know, develop maps for the car, and you have dyno and like, you know, have the ability to do some of this stuff, it gets real hard real fast. And I think that to me is the line, and that's why going a little bit older takes away a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can really do some pretty interesting stuff when you get just into that realm of it's, you know, just old enough where either you have good ECU support or you can modify some of the stuff to take piggyback controllers or certain generic things to get a tune going.
Yeah. It makes you wonder on how people are going to get around this stuff with newer cars and, you know.
You know, I don't think it is. I mean, you know, this kind of goes back to that conversation, that age-old conversation of, like, what makes some of the cars have some of the following, right? Like, why did Civic get so big? Why did, you know, cars? Like, and what do you... Yeah, and why do you think that, like, companies like... Why do you think cars like Tesla and some of these EVs, why are they so against them that are car enthusiasts?
Because it goes against all the stuff that we like.
Yeah, but does it?
Yeah, it does. It goes against it in the sense of like all copy and pasted type of stuff, no freedom for customization or whatever it is, okay, and whatnot. So yeah, it's all the same stuff.
I understand your point.
You know, and there's no free realm or opportunities to make it the way you want to make it.
Yeah, I mean, like, Tesla to me is just a good example of, you know, I mean, when you take away the ability to tune and customize your car, and what are you left with? You're left with exterior and styling and wheels and suspension, and, you know, that's cool.
Some stickers.
No, I'm kidding. But then, you know, for guys like me who, you know, I want to build stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make my car better. And when I say better, I do mean better.
Yeah.
Like, I believe that there is not a car that comes from an OE that cannot be better.
That's interesting.
No. I don't think it's that interesting. I'm not telling... The reason I say better is I think it's a completely subjective thing.
It is.
But name a car that you can't make better.
GT2.
Well, I think there would be an argument there.
It's a tough one, man. I don't know how you're going to fight that one.
Well, I'm not saying... Well, because, look, even on that GT2 level,
uh-huh,
would you agree that even Porsche has gone through and made a GT2 cup car?
Yeah.
Would you argue that even Porsche made that car better?
I mean, I guess it's fair.
I'm not saying... So what I guess what I'm saying is, and that's why I said it was subjective, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you might say, well, no, not as a road car. All right.
It's but right.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, the cup car wouldn't be better as a road car, correct?
Right?
Yeah.
So, and that's what I mean. I think it's subjective. I just think that the ability to make a car better...
Mm-hmm.
Is,
well, that's kind of stuff,
awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of stuff that you did with the Z, with the you know, like putting in the air cups and stuff like that, that you had to make it just, again, better, just for everyday
just
use,
better
drive. Yeah, just straight better.
Yeah.
And
no, I think that with a 350Z there's a lot of room,
yeah,
to make the car better.
I also love that you put in the you have an infotainment system in your car, right? Like a touchscreen or something.
Yeah.
Right? Like I love that you did that, because I know you, and I feel like you're not the type of guy to do that, but you acknowledge it, like, this is junk, let's make it better.
Well, yeah, I mean, but also
like the one that comes in it is what I'm saying was junk.
Oh, well, yeah. And
yeah.
then ultimately for years I had just a regular single DIN deck.
Yeah.
But there's no Bluetooth.
Right.
And I think it's hard when you drive enough cars that are Bluetooth, and then you get into your car that's not.
Yeah.
You really feel like, this is some handicap stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well, Bluetooth is what standard on like everything after like 2008 or something, like
something like that.
Yeah, somewhere around that time period or whatever. But yeah, so you were just like, well, let's fix it.
We'll just And so then I ran a microphone and put it in, so I have all the stuff. But like, I just think it's a matter of making things better, and I think it. You know, part of what drives enthusiasts is the ability that they have to improve upon what that blank canvas is.
So would you say that might be rough to say, I guess, but like, so when people say like tastefully modded, now would you say that people who mod their cars and don't inherently make it better, is that distastefully modding, you know?
Again, subjectively, in my opinion, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what... I struggle with cars that are...
Well, a good example would be like slam to the ground static with extreme camber. Like, you did not make the car better. You know what I mean? But like, you did something, subjectively cool. But...
I think that they should have the right to modify... I believe people should have the right to modify cars.
Mm-hmm.
Where they don't potentially end up, if you're going to drive them on public roadways, they don't end up in a nightmare of potential risk. Having a little camber is not the end of the world.
What about
having so much
that
you barely have any traction?
Right.
That may be a little bit much for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that I can't look at that car and understand why they may want that.
Well, when I look at those cars, if I see that those people take it strictly to shows and stuff like that, like, by all means,
absolutely,
like, 100%. By all means, like, that's cool.
It's not my style.
Yeah,
it's not my taste, but I get it.
But if someone does it to their daily driver or something, and like, that's like their every car and whatever, they want to also do some heavy mods to it in their own way. I'm just like, wow, that's hard.
Back in the day when we were really... I hate saying back in the day. I always feel so freaking old. But
back in my day.
But when I was really into, like, we were kind of into, I was into my younger heyday, right? So bad. There's nothing you could do.
You didn't make it sound any better.
There's nothing I can do to actually make it sound any better.
You just say a few years back.
It's more than a few. Anyhow, it's, I don't know how to even, building cars, back then, there's nothing I could do about it. Back then, there was, like, mini trucks were really big still.
Yeah, I love mini trucks.
I hate mini trucks.
I love mini trucks.
But I love the attention to detail and the build quality that so many mini trucks bring.
Now, you're talking about, like the Mazda, like the
was well, it? All right, hold on a second. We got to separate what a mini truck is. Because I think I may be leading you in the wrong direction.
I was thinking what's the B Mazda truck? The
B2200.
Yes, that
B2000.
Or the, I'm thinking of the Nissan.
A lot of people used to run, right, like the base Nissan pickup trucks. What were they? They weren't Frontiers. What were they back then?
No, it was
like Nissan 100 or I don't know what was it?
N14.
Yeah, something like that.
What it was.
And then there was it was like the same vintage type thing that like was built like when they did those early Pathfinders and those were cool. And then they also did like people used to use the Tacomas, the really early Tacomas before they were trucks, before they were like glorified tin cans.
Yeah, but when they were small.
Yeah, so that to me is not mini trucking. Those are the cars that got built into mini trucks.
Oh, okay.
But what I mean is like if you look at a Jinjiam,
mm-hmm.
He took that platform. I don't classify that as a mini truck.
He has the Mazda one, I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
The drift one.
Yep.
I don't classify that as a mini truck. I think that falls more into the JDM truckish thing that you also made into like an actual breathable monster.
So what do you mean?
I'm talking, when I say mini truck, what we always refer to as mini trucks, those are the ones that used to always have like the license plate sunken into the tailgate that were always like on an angle. They had chrome Corvette taillights and stuff. They had the wild different color, with all these different pattern type thing. It was chrome everything. It was like, that was to me was mini truck. And that was what was so popular on the other side of the spectrum. Like you, when you went to Inopi Nationals, you would see like hundreds of these things.
Yeah.
And I hated them. But
now, are those older? Are we talking like older cars? Like
no, like these were these mini trucks, these little mini trucks. They were on a lot of times they had hydraulics.
But like what model?
It was the same ones.
I don't know.
It was B2200s. I mean, all right, same similar fashion, but it's not loud enough, Max. For those of you listening on, nope. You got to keep going. We're not. You're not old enough. So we're starting to get there. So up there, now we're starting to get there. That's the. But these are clean. These are clean. Whoa. I mean, these might be still clean. I mean, you know, there was some B2200s. When I tell you that they looked like, I mean, that's interesting. When they would tell you, these are really actually very clean, even though I don't love them.
They're cool though.
But like there used to be, when I used to tell you that the wild colors, you go to these car shows. I mean, I swear to you, I didn't know if they had, like, they must have just said, well, just use every color you have, you know?
Yeah.
All these different little like patterns and stuff like that. A lot of chrome.
That stuff's cool.
Again, I hate them, but I can walk up to that truck and really appreciate all the work they put into it.
Oh, so
because there was endless hours in these trucks.
So for the giveaway Conan car, we're gonna do a mini truck.
No, I can't.
Oh, that would be cool, man. You want to do something different?
I can't do it.
And then we can do Vesima. Then we
can't do
mini truck in the booth.
I could pull off. I could pull off a Gingium type of mini truck.
Uh huh.
It's not a mini truck though, but like. I could pull off a Gingium type of build, yeah. Right? It's just, you know, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of chrome back in those days. A lot of stuff. But you could look at these things and realize how much, even in this, how much work went into this truck.
A lot. That thing's nice.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't like them. It's beautiful.
I would have put a white interior. It's just me.
Listen, I hear you. I'm telling you, this truck is really nice. They did great work. It's a way of them almost combining the JDM type truck movement
mm-hmm.
with a lowrider
yeah.
movement and somehow meeting in the middle with what the old hot rod guys used to do. You know,
that's what I was saying by older car, by the way. I was thinking you were maybe even talking about hot rods.
No,
and I was like, you wouldn't be talking about that.
Different type of builds, but like I, you know, and that's the thing. I think when I go to shows, like everybody says, like, well, what do you love? I love everything automotive. Like
yeah.
I can walk around a show, and so that is a really nice truck.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really nice truck. I know that people who are listening, maybe don't see. Go to YouTube, check it out. But, there are just some, you know, people used to do them with the old not Lightnings, like the S10 Extremes and stuff like that. I think the only thing that decides for me whether a car is cool or not is like, does it has somebody put the hours into it? Does it really have this uniqueness? And that's a cool truck too. Listen, again, it's not that I think these like I would never own one. I wouldn't be one of those guys that enjoyed driving that.
No,
but
well,
actually, but the build quality.
If it was on air like that, then I think I would.
The build quality, and I've done a couple of these four lane kits.
Yeah,
like my friend had a bagged S10, and
wow, that interior is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's not all that crazy, but yeah, I'm with you. But like my friend had a bagged S10, and we did everything you said. We cut out the wheel wells. We cut out the part of the bed. We tubbed the rear. We put it on. You know, we had a full you know air system that we did into the truck. It had the V6 Vortec in it, and it was a cool truck for him. He was the one back then. I mean, his whole favorite thing to yell was switches for the.
Ah.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's not hydraulics, man. And he's like, psh, psh, psh. You know,
but it rhymes.
Right. So, anyhow, I don't know. I'm curious. I'm curious to see what cool cars people think. Here's some questions I want to leave people with.
Yeah.
And if you are listening on one of our podcast platforms, head over to YouTube. Just hit the comments for a little bit. One, what do you think it takes for a car to be considered quote unquote cool?
Mm-hmm.
Two, if we were going to give away a car, would you like to see the build content? Would that be in an episodic fashion? Would you watch that? Is that something... you would watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think circling back a little bit more is, do you feel that that if we were to do something like this and give it away, you know, how would you like to see that happen? You know what I mean? Like, you know, would it be cooler if it went to a bunch of different other influencers? Is it something that has to be, you know, just randomly given away? Different things like that. I mean, just give us your thoughts. I'm curious, you know, where do you agree with what kind of car we should give away? Where is it? Like, I just want to hear some of these thoughts. Not sure if we're going to do it, but if we do, man, it could be something cool. Does it have to end up at SEMA? Should it be given away somewhere else? Just...
Should Rich use it as a drift car?
I don't know, Rich. I don't know. Anyhow, that's it for this one. We'll catch you back here on the next one. Peace out.